Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Justin Ray, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show, I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
The world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. It is April 17th, 2019, and we have a great show for you today, as always. In a half hour, we have Harry Moskowitz coming on the program. Harry Moskowitz is a old school UFC veteran, old school MMA fighter, street fighter, real tough guy from New Jersey that we had on the program about 3 or 4 years ago, and we've been friends on Facebook, and I've been in contact with him here and there over the years. And last week during the show, I get a message from Harry. There was this notorious fight that took place at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, where you know the cameras and the announcers and whatnot, they had to take their attention away from what was going on in the sanctioned fights and looked to the audience, and it was just really, really unbelievable. Well, it turns out Harry actually sent me the video during last week's show. It turns out that Harry Moskowitz was assaulted, and his sons came to his aid and started to fight the people that assaulted him. And if you don't know who Harry Moskowitz is, Harry Moskowitz is a big, big guy, 6'4", 6'5", 250 plus. He's a big, big man. And I wanted to get his take. I want to find out what happened. And, you know, moreover, I wanted to get his take on Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship in general, because there's no question that this organization, David Feldman, has hit sort of a mark here on the landscape. A lot of the boxing websites are not even covering Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. The MMA sites are. And that's good, but there's no question that they're getting a lot of buzz. They're getting a lot of social media imprints. I don't know what their pay-per-view buys are, but David Feldman has said that he's in talks with signing with a network. They're making some very, very big signings. They're signing, you know, they recently signed Paulie Malignaggi. They signed Artem Lobov. It seems like they could sign whoever they want at this point, whoever is willing to do bare-knuckle fighting. And they're doing really, really well. Like I said, really making a lot of noise there. And there's been a bit of a backlash. A lot of people are saying, you know, this is barbarism. This is two, you know, fighters that are down on their luck, that have no other choice but to go in there and fight. We all saw what happened after Artem Lobov and Jason Knight fought, which was a great fight, which is just so exciting, really was. Their faces were just absolutely mangled. Artem Lobov is scheduled to fight Paulie Malignaggi in June, and there were some questions as to whether or not he's going to be sanctioned, but according to Feldman, his scars are healing, he's doing fine, and he'll be able to fight Paulie Malignaggi. There's no question on the surface of this, bare-knuckle fighting is very, very dangerous, just on the surface of just how these fighters look, just on you know, the cosmetics of the whole thing. But if you actually look at the injuries, there's been very, very few injuries, maybe one or two broken noses, a few broken hands out of all the fights and of all the fighters that have went through bare-knuckle fighting championship. And so it's not necessarily as brutal as you may think, or maybe it is. I don't know. It's up for debate. Forbes just came out recently and said that this is the next billion-dollar company. Feldman and others have said, you know, that the type of arguments that are being levied against bare-knuckle fighting, that the type of attacks that they've received are similar to what the UFC received back, you know, in the early days of the UFC. And he drew a parallel between bare-knuckle fighting and the UFC. Pretty interesting. You know, he actually responded to one of my comments on Facebook about how people are saying this is barbarism, this and that. As I said, the boxing websites, they're not covering this for some reason. And it's all, you know, part of a very, very interesting discussion. Me personally, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I think it's giving fighters an alternative to mixed martial arts. We just had UFC 236 last week, where Kelvin Gastelum and Israel Adesanya, who you know, fought a brutal 5-round fight, a great fight, one of the best championship fights that I've seen in quite some time. They only got paid $350,000. Dana White said, you know, it was interim fights are good because Israel Adesanya actually made pay-per-view points. Probably got more than that, but just on the surface of it, that's not a lot of money. You know, $350,000 for two top contenders fighting each other for a belt is certainly not a lot of money, okay? And, you know, the UFC has been criticized for their pay structure, rightfully so, over the years. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. I really do. But, you know, people with the oversaturated roster of the UFC, just the difficult demands, you know, only being able to fight maybe three times, the arbitrary nature of matchmaking, no set matchmaking, no commissions, just fighters who are hot in the moment fighting, you know, getting opportunities. It's whoever's hot in the moment. It's whoever comes off a knockout last week or whatnot, the recency bias, you know? And so that's what happens. And, you know, fighters are trying to make a living, and I don't blame them for going over to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. We're seeing a lot of fighters do that, and I think that's going to continue. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's an alternative. I think the fans have responded generally well, but I want to get a feel for this because, again, the argument that this is barbarism, that this is aggressive, that this is, you know, too brutal. And I've never covered a bare-knuckle fighting championship event in person. I don't know. I know what the MMA crowds are like. Believe me, I've been to several local MMA shows and Bellator shows. Typically, Bellator shows, there's not, you know, many problems. You don't see fights and whatnot, but some of the local MMA shows, certainly between schools, I've seen a lot of fights, and it's been pretty bad. But for the most part, you know, it's not too bad. But MMA fans, in general, as we know, tend to be white, aggressive, upper middle class, middle to upper middle class, and you know, they tend to be very, very aggressive there. That doesn't necessarily manifest into fights and all that stuff. But, you know, I want to get a feel for what bare-knuckle fighting is from somebody who was there and what happened and whatnot. And I want to talk a little bit about the UFC because Harry Moskowitz his head about the UFC, about the direction that the UFC has taken, and some politics. You know, Harry's very, very politically, I won't say aware, but politically active in terms of his post. He's a Southern Trump supporter, even though he grew up in New Jersey, I believe. And I want to just kind of get his idea. We love talking to individuals that have maybe perhaps different political persuasions than I do. And we get them all the time on my political show, and we welcome them here on Carson's Corner. So what has happened since the last time we've been on air? Brandon Harab asks, was he the one hanging on the railing? No. That was somebody that from my understanding, assaulted Harry, and Harry's sons were there too, protecting him, which is admirable. And Harry's sons, from the video, are just as big as he is. One of his sons, I know, fought a professional or a kickboxing match. They're big guys, you know. So I just wanted to get a feel for what happened. Is it brutal in the audience? You know, what's the audience like? You know, what does he think of bare knuckle fighting? I've already kind of given my opinion. And what is going to happen in the future with bare knuckle fighting? Get out of. So, Brandon, to answer your question, no. That was somebody that was getting pummeled, I think, by one of Harry's sons after allegedly he was assaulted and whatnot. All right, so last week you had that UFC 236, okay? And this was really a two-fight card. I wasn't really interested in a lot of the fights on this card, and I don't feel obligated to go over every single fight. I really don't. I only talk about the fights that are interesting to me, okay? You know, I just want to take it as a one of the guys approach. You know, why do people watch UFC 236? By the way, if you tried to order this on the ESPN Plus app, see, I recently signed up for ESPN Plus, okay? And still, it's very, very confusing. There's a lot of kinks that they have to work out, and it's not as good, in my opinion, as Fight Pass. Some of the features that the Fight Pass player offers are pretty good, but UFC Plus and this UFC app is just it's not taking off, I think, the way that the UFC wanted to. And last week was their first pay-per-view that you can get exclusively through, from my understanding, the ESPN Plus app. Okay, you couldn't get it through any cable providers because the UFC just recently signed an exclusive deal with ESPN to distribute their pay-per-views. And this is a big mistake. They got a lot of – I think it is. They got a lot of criticism for this and whatnot. And it turns out that a lot of people that tried to get the UFC pay-per-view last week couldn't order it through ESPN+. Plus. There was problems. Tim Kennedy, you know, former UFC fighter, posted on Twitter that he'd made several attempts to try to order this, but he couldn't order it, and so he gave up. I know a lot of people that, again, tried to order it, but they wound up, watching it via an illegal stream and whatnot. So it was very, very frustrating, and certainly, you know, these fighters, they undoubtedly missed out on pay-per-view points and whatnot from people not being able to watch it due to, you know, this aggressive model now that the UFC is taking as far as, you know, distributing their product, you know. So it was very, very, unfortunate in that regard. But, you know, nonetheless, the two fights that I was interested in, obviously, were the championship fights. Of course, Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier beat Max Holloway earlier in both of their careers via mounted armbar, and Max Holloway moving up in weight and fighting Dustin Poirier. And there was a lot of intrigue because Max Holloway has really been on a tear. You know, he's just been almost like this wrecking ball in there, you know, beating Jose Aldo twice decisively. Beating Brian Ortega, just, you know, dishing out a lot of punishment and ultimately stopping Ortega, I believe, in the fourth round. And yet, on the other hand, you had Dustin Poirier, who's also on a tear, doing very, very well, beating the likes most recently of Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje. You know, he's had multiple, over 20, 21, 22 fights in the UFC, and, you know, has had a lot of peaks and valleys in his career. And, you know, so it made sense that these two were going to fight. You know, I think it was Ferguson that was supposed to fight. I forget. There's so many drop-offs. So many people drop off and whatnot. And so, you know, Max Holloway trying to win two championship belts. He, of course, is the featherweight championship, undisputed featherweight champion, and trying to solidify his legacy by winning the lightweight belt there and fighting for an interim belt. And then, of course, the winner fights Tony Ferguson. I believe, was it Tony Ferguson or Khabib? No, the winner fights Khabib. Tony Ferguson is out and whatnot. And so I picked Holloway to win. I thought Holloway was going to be able to, you know, increase the pressure, land more shots and whatnot. And Holloway really did very well in this fight. But it was clear that the size differential between the two was quite substantial, you know, really was significant, more so than I thought, because Holloway was always a big, big, you know, featherweight. Holloway had a cut down. He's a big, you know, almost 6 feet, really tall guy, but he looked small in there, and there's no question about that. And so, you know, it was a very, very good fight. Dustin Poirier did a lot of things that he does very, very well, you know, didn't lose his stamina, seemingly had it all throughout the fight, and landed the more powerful shots. And he definitely was the more powerful fighter in the fight, and he won a clear-cut decision. You know, some people said that it wasn't as clear-cut. Some people thought it was draw. I thought that Poirier won the fight and whatnot, and, you know, solidified champion there. And then the second fight, you know, Israel Adesanya versus Kelvin Gastelum. This was, as I said, a great, great fight. I mean, I was really on the edge of my seat and whatnot. Both of these guys, Harry just called, and we're going to go to him in like a few minutes or so. Thank you, Harry, for calling in. And I really, really was, you know, not surprised by this, but I had given Israel the advantage going into this fight because of striking, because of his wrestling, takedown defense, because of, you know, what he's able to do, how difficult he is to hit and whatnot. And Kelvin found a way to hit him, and Kelvin did really, really well. And I often go back, I think it was the third round when Kelvin rocked him and was close to finishing the fight. He goes for two takedowns instead of, you know, trying to just unload. He may have been able to stop him there. But who knows? You know, I questioned Kelvin's strategy on Twitter. And ultimately, it was a really, really good fight. Both fighters left it in the cage. Everything you can ask for with a championship fight. And Israel Adesanya got the win. And now he's fighting Robert Whittaker, presumably very, very soon in Australia, according to Dana White. And that should be a really, really good fight. As I said earlier, as I said many, you know, a few years ago, Israel Adesanya is destined to be a champion. Now he's a champion. He's cocky, he's brash, but he's very intelligent, classy at the same time. He's a mixed bag of tricks. And I'm a big fan of Israel Adesanya. I'll be honest, he wasn't on my radar before he got to the UFC. But now that he's here in the UFC, you could clearly see this kid is evolving. I don't want to see him fight John Jones. You know, I want to see consistent, you know, fighting in each division, not these super fights, not, as I said, who's hot in the moment, who's going to fight who challenges who, and that gets a lot of social media imprints, and then before you know it, the UFC makes the fights. It's all over the place with the matchmaking. It's very distracting, and it's very frustrating to some fighters out there who don't get that title shot because they don't talk a big game or because they're not hot in the moment now, like, you know, Derek Lewis versus Daniel Cormier, and that was just ridiculous. So, you know, you get the point. All right, so without further ado, let's go to our friend, UFC veteran, old school MMA fighter, Mr. Harry Moskowitz.
How you doing, Bob?
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Good, man, good. It's I don't know, about 8:50 or so Eastern time. Where are you time zone-wise? Are you like an hour ahead of us, or are you in the same time zone?
I'm an hour behind you.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yes, so listen, I wanted to have you on the program because, you know, I wanted to get your take on what happened at this bare-knuckle fighting championship event in Mississippi. I wanted to get a feel for what happened. I also wanted to kind of get your take on bare-knuckle fighting in general. You forwarded me the video, and it looked like, look, if you can, I mean, this is widely circulated all over the Internet. Kind of tell us, you know, what happened, if you would.
It was an argument. I was part of the argument. It was an argument between me and another gentleman. We settled it between ourselves, and I turned to talk to the security guard. When I turned to talk to him, one of his friends that was drunk took it upon himself to sucker punch me in my jaw, not realizing that I had two sons that were in the crowd with me, my 27-year-old son and my 24-year-old son. And when that happened, he took a pretty good beating, as you can see on the video. Him and his brother.
Yes. Yes. And this was, you had two sons with you. You were assaulted, no question about it. You were, you know, looking the other direction. This guy clocked you. And then, you know, what ended up happening? You know, so basically, your sons, was there just one person that was involved, or was there a few people?
There was a few people involved. Basically, the one that had started it all when the fight started, he pretty much ran. If you watch that video, there's one that pulls his shirt off and runs to the mm-hmm. other end of the seats. He's the one that started it all. Once the fight started, he didn't want to fight. Then he ran to the other end of the seats. He was more of the
and
mouth,
were your sons
so.
and your sons ultimately went over to him to protect you and whatnot.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah, I mean, as far as there was no criminal charges pressed. There was no we weren't kicked out. Security seen everything
okay.
that happened. Security seen everything that happened, and they knew that we weren't the aggressors in the action there.
Oh, that's good, because I know sometimes, you know, if there's any type, depending upon how the police react, you know, they could arrest both parties involved or a security guard or you know, they could. It seems like, at least from what you're telling me, that they kind of mediated this correctly, where I guess you weren't ejected, and the guy that hit you wasn't ejected either. So everybody got to continue to watch the fights?
Well, no, he was ejected. He escorted out of the arena. The rest of us got to stay and watch the fights, yes.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's I guess it's justice served and whatnot that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But in any event, you know, what happened? Obviously, you weren't injured or anything.
No, not at all. Not at all.
What?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What was the atmosphere there like? Because, I mean, like I said, I've never covered bare-knuckle fighting championship. I mean, I know that you've been around the sport of MMA for a long time. I'm sure you're very, very familiar with MMA crowds and whatnot. Is it any different for bare-knuckle fighting? Are the crowds any different and any a little bit rougher or more rough?
No, not at all. Not at all. The guy David Feldman that's promoting this, it's very professional.
Yeah.
As far as It was a lot of your MMA fans were there. Well, Jason Knight and Autumn LeBeau were the main. What's his name? Chase Sherman was one of the fighters. There was a lot of Alex Valley Flag. No, what's his name? Valley Flag. I forget his first name.
He was Isaac
Valley fighters. So there was a lot of ex-UFC fighters there. Chris Lieben. So there was a lot. There was a big MMA crowd there. And as far as the promotion itself, it was real professional. So they wouldn't put up with too much.
Well, that's good. So they had the proper security. You had a lot of UFC vets there. You know, I've met David Feldman. I've interviewed him. I've attended some of his media events, and I just wanted to get a feeling for it because, bare knuckle fighting seemingly, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, is kind of on the rise here. You know, it seems like they're getting a lot of traction. The fights are crafted in a way, I think, to try to maximize the entertainment out there. It seems to be, I think, a win-win for everybody. But there are some out there, there's a few people out there that are trying to characterize this as just barbarism, being brutal and whatnot, and possibly even extending to some of the fans out there who are watching this, and it just there just seems to be a lot of attacks against bare knuckle fighting, much like the case was with the earlier UFCs and whatnot. So, I just wanted to kind of get a feel for that, and basically somebody who was there to let everybody know to sort of set the record straight, you know.
Oh yeah. No, like you said, David Feldman's real professional, and we have there's a local promoter here that's working with David Feldman, a guy named Ricky Duran. Ricky's been promoting fights most of his life here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Him and his brothers. His brother was a professional boxer, and they've been promoting boxing and MMA, all kind of different fighting. And they've always held real professional stuff here. They don't put up with much as far as no garbage in the crowds. If it goes on, you will not come back to their event.
That's good. And we saw even in the lead up to this fight, you had the press conference. There was a press conference, I think it was hosted by Sean Wheelock, where Loboff and Knight were going at it, but that's to be expected. I mean, that's part of the promotion of these events, and nothing was too over the top. I mean, it's undoubtedly part of the promotion and whatnot, but it definitely seems like, as I said, that the bare knuckle fighting championship is doing well, making a lot of high profile signings. And delivering for the fans. What is your take on bare knuckle fighting? First, before I ask you that, have you ever actually participated in a sanctioned bare knuckle match?
No, I never have. And I wish, to be honest with you, I wish that I wasn't so old because I would love to do it. Watching it the other night, I would love to do it. I'm just too old now. I would like something.
I think the last time I spoke to you, you had mentioned that, if I'm not mistaken, that in New Jersey and whatnot. I mean, you kind of had a lot of street fights and whatnot, leading up to the UFC, and there was just so I guess you have definitely some bare knuckle experience. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Just not anything in a ring or sanctioned, but a lot of experience. Yes.
So what's your take on bare knuckle fighting in general? I mean, do you think it's more dangerous than MMA fights? Do you think that it's more entertaining and whatnot? What do you think about the whole thing?
I don't think it's more dangerous at all. You're not getting kicked in the head. You're not getting kneed. knee to the head, knee to the face. It's all hands. So, I mean, an eight ounce glove is nothing but padding. That's all. I mean, that's all an MMA glove is, padding, really. It's the only difference between bare knuckle and MMA, is, in my opinion. I think bare knuckle boxing is here to stay, and I think it's the future. And I think the UFC better get ready, because David Feldman's got something that's going to be real big.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's no question about that. And, you know, you bring up a good point about the kicks and other types of strikes that you see in MMA. Another thing that's potentially dangerous in MMA, and you know, I don't know where the science is on this, but there's something called the anvil effect, where, you know, a fighter's down, they're getting hit by a punch, whether they're being mounted or somebody's got side mount, and their head is hitting the ground too. So you got that front impact and the back of the head impact, which is devastating. I mean, we've seen some of the ground and pound. It seems like has really, really gotten more brutal over the years. And I don't know what that's due to. I mean, if it's just due to the athletes now, higher caliber athletes, or, you know, you got somebody like John Jones who you know, has PEDs in his system, and he gets you down. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like you're almost at a concussion. So, you know, in that sense, at least bare knuckle fighting, you know, doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like elbow strikes to the head. The tip of that elbow,
yep,
compared to a bare knuckle, there's no comparison. No comparison at all. I think bare knuckle is a lot safer.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing is that it looks just cosmetic wise, as I was saying earlier, it looks worse. I mean, I don't know if you had an opportunity to see Loboff and Jason Knight's face. I mean, they
oh, yeah,
look like they were mauled by bears. But however, though, I mean, you know, that doesn't equate to serious injuries. I mean, okay, you know, I had to go to the hospital and whatnot. But, you know, you look at some MMA fights, and fighters look like that after their MMA fights. And, you know, you've got people like Josh Emmett, who, you know, about 18 months ago, whatever, fought Jeremy Stephens. And Josh Emmett, you know, broke almost every body, or Jeremy Stephens broke almost every bone in Josh Emmett's face. I mean, it was just a horrifying injury. So luckily, you haven't seen that in bare-knuckle fighting. I just think that because of that, some people will take the easy route and say, oh, look, you know, this is brutal. Look at these guys' face.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And you're not getting, you're not worrying about the arm locks and your knees. And, I mean, you get caught in too many, like the knee bars. You got to walk on those knees the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Wow. So, in my opinion,
yeah,
the bare knuckle boxing is a whole lot safer.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I believe my knees to this day, if I extend my knees upwards, my knees are curled because of all the knee bars that I've taken. It's like, you know, it's really like it's unbelievable. But that's what happens. You're absolutely right, and you got to
yep,
take that into consideration.
Yeah, I've had 3 knee surgeries.
I believe it.
Yes.
I definitely believe it. But in any event, UFC too. You know, what do you think about the UFC? You fought in the UFC. You're a early era MMA fighter. How do you think that, if you can, you know, to the UFC when you fought to the UFC now, what are some of the things that kind of come to mind to you?
Today's UFC, I don't even think it compares to the old UFC. I don't even like to watch it anymore. I'll be honest with you. I think Dana White is killing it. In my opinion, I think Dana White is killing it. I think, like you, I was listening to your show a little while ago where you said that, I can't remember his name, just won the title. Beat Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh, yeah. Israel Adesanya? Yeah.
Right. Let him fight the people that are in line to fight. That stop this jumping around and picking people. You know, that back in the old days, it was with the tournaments, you had to earn your way. There is no more of that. It's whoever Dana White thinks, whoever Dana White's friends with. And I think he's killing it. I think it's and little by little, it's becoming WWE wrestling. And I mean, that's my opinion. Yeah. When Lesnar jumped in there and shoved Daniel Cormier, that showed me right there that it's becoming WWE to me.
And what happened was, you know, Stipe, they ignored Stipe. I was really, really pissed off about that because here you have Stipe, you know, who won 3 or 4 heavyweight title fights, which is like a record for the heavyweight division. You know, he doesn't talk trash. He's a working class guy. He's a firefighter. I'm a big fan of Stipe's. And Daniel knocks him out, and what do? They had Brock Lesnar in there. It was all choreographed. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They don't even give Stipe the common courtesy of a post-fight interview. They shove him aside, and you have Brock Lesnar coming, and Stipe's a piece of this, and it's just it was just really, really distasteful. And what happened? Now, you know, Brock Lesnar lost the title or lost his belt in the WWE, and now he's going to be fighting Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight championship of the world in the UFC. How in the world does that make sense?
It doesn't. It makes no sense. I mean, that's like John Jones. How do you get suspended and come back in your first fight, you fight for a title? No. You got guys that have been fighting and earning their way, make him go to the bottom. If he beats all of them guys, fine, give him a title shot. But you don't just step back in there, and that's what they, Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor, these are all Dana White's boys. And yeah, they can come and go as they please and do what they want to do. And he's killing the UFC, he is. In my opinion, he is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, these pay-per-view, it's like there's so many things that are wrong with this, is that the pay-per-view numbers have been dwindling over the last, you know, not dwindling, but declining over the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, you know, they've diversified their business with the streaming deal that they have. And a lot of people are turned off by this. The ESPN Plus, where, you know, you have to sign up for ESPN Plus now to watch UFC content. It's not available on cable providers for pay-per-view. It seems very, very predatory, very aggressive, and you know this whole trash talking and, you know, brawling and whatnot that leads to fights is overlooking individuals that, you know, maybe pay their dues and don't participate in that. I mean, look at this guy, Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier has been fighting in the UFC. He's only 30 years old. He started in the UFC when he's 22, 23 years old. Now, 7 years later, now he's getting a title shot. He doesn't talk trash. He didn't do it. And it just seems, like you said, very, very arbitrary on the part of Dana White and WMAIMG. And I think what's happening is it's all about the short-term popularity. At some of these recent – look at a guy like George Masvidal. He beats Darren Till. He gets into a brawl afterwards. He attacks this Leon Edwards who fought on the card, right? And everybody's, oh, you know, the UFC, they're celebrating this three-piece in a combo. You know, this meme that went out there. And then, you know, then now he's fighting Ben Askren now. It's just so arbitrary, and you know I don't think bare knuckle fighting is going to go that route. You know, I think that they're going to go the route of once they establish their organization, get more and more fighters and get rankings. Hopefully they'll make it more of a sport like that. You know,
I agree. The reason I say, if you look at the reason I say the UFC, it reminds me of WWE. is you take like your UFC Hall of Fame. You look at Frank Shamrock and James Pulver, guys that made the UFC what it is today. They don't get along with Dana White. They're not allowed in the UFC Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And it's wrong. It's completely wrong. Just because you're not going to bow down to Dana White, who is Dana White?
Yep.
So, I think, like I said, David Feldman is a totally different guy. And I really believe that he's got a gold mine there, and I believe he's the future of combat sports. Yeah, I really believe
that. You posted. Now, I agree. I definitely think that David is doing the right thing. And David is really, I think, come under attack by some of the UFC brass. I know you posted posted about what I post on Facebook about Joe Rogan coming out and saying, you know, he looks like a cokehead, looks evil, this type of smear, you know, him and Herb Dean against David Feldman. What did you think about that? Because it seems like the UFC always does this. If you get somebody that is offering a different product and potentially could be a competitor to the UFC, Dana White, if he's really threatened by that person, he'll never admit this in a million years, he always tries to smear them, always tries to attack them, cokehead, this, that, and the other thing. And Rogan, who's employed by the UFC, you know, with his wide audience, you know, smears someone like David Feldman. What did you make of that?
Yeah, you know, it's like you just said, though, it shows they're scared. It shows that they know this is a legitimate threat to them and to their fight base, their fighter base. Once the UFC fighters see that there's something else out there, that they don't have to put up with Dana White and the shenanigans going on there, I mean, it's something else where they can say, I'm done. I'm going to go over here. It's not, they don't have to, right now, it was always just Bellator or...
Yeah.
UFC bought out the prize, so they didn't have anywhere else to go until Bellator came or Strikeforce was gone. Now there's something else, and in a way, it shows they're scared. And as far as cokeheads go, man, Joe Rogan ain't got no room to talk, I promise you. I promise you that much.
You're right, man. Very, very good point. Yeah, and with all the stuff that he does and all that stuff. It's you know, I don't like that. And you know, look, I mean, if you disagree with what Feldman did with regards to, you know, the pay of one of his fighters, you know, threatening to withhold the pay or reduce the pay of one of his fighters, I forget who it was. That's fine. We could have a discussion about that. And Feldman kind of reversed it. Feldman, I think it was maybe a reactionary on his part. He said, okay, you know what, I'm going to pay this fighter. But you know, you don't have to get engaged in that type of smear. And I just think it's unfortunate. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a threat. I feel like you know, bare knuckle fighting is coming along and stealing the narrative from the UFC. And the UFC, my experience with the UFC is they want to control everything. They want to control the MMA media landscape. They want to control MMA promotions. They want to eliminate their competition. Whereas you know it's a sport. You know, and these are athletes. And whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I think a lot of that comes from Dana White. I think a lot of that comes from the top down, you know?
I agree. I'm going to tell you that I know that Bare Knuckle Boxing is holding another event here in Biloxi, Mississippi in August. You ought to try to come on. I don't know where you live, but you ought to try to make it down here. And at least attend one of their events. They're holding one in June in, I believe, New Hampshire or Boston. And then they're coming back to Mississippi in August. And
you ought to attend one of their events.
Yeah.
It's really good. Really good.
Wait, so you're saying that the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship is running again in Mississippi? I missed you.
Yeah, in August I'll be here in Mississippi.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could definitely do that because that's not too far of a drive for me. And now is that going to be is that the Artem Pauly fight or?
No, I believe the Artem Pauly fight is going to be in Boston. I'm not sure who the main event's going to be here. They haven't announced that yet.
But, yeah, that'd be nice.
I know it's
going to
be in August.
Sure, you know, I'd love to go down.
Oh, yes.
Get out.
Soon as
well, listen, I wanted to talk. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, no, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that political wise you're interested in because I have a lot of friends and a lot of political persuasions amongst the people that I'm friends with and whatnot. And what is your sense of what's going on now with the Trump administration and everything, you know, politically in this climate? Kind of what comes to mind for you?
I am a diehard Trump supporter. I have been from the get-go. I am a diehard Trump supporter. Does he say a lot of crazy things? Yes, he does. Is there times that he's completely off the wall? Yes, he is. But I believe that he is 100% wants to straighten this country out. I believe his best interests are with this country. As far as the illegal, with the illegal immigrants, I think he's 100% correct. You want to come here? Come legally. Come apply, come in legally. I mean, we have too many homeless Americans, too many homeless veterans, that we need to be taken care of, that our money can be going to. I mean, that's in my own opinion, but I'm a 2020, he's got my vote. I'll guarantee you that much.
Yeah. What is it about Trump initially that supported you? Because I've often said that I can understand, I've always understood the appeal of Trump in terms of him being a communicator, because I think that people are tired of the carefully crafted politicians who, you know, want to just only say what is approved by their campaign manager and what is approved by lawyers and whatnot to a select audience. And, you know, Trump sort of comes and he says, you know, whatever he wants to. He's a very, very good communicator. And he had an ability, even though, you know, look, we can look at the voting data of 2016 and see just, you know, him and Hillary Clinton were not very popular candidates at all. But he has that appeal to some people. So I always thought that, you know, as a political candidate, I could understand just in terms of the way he communicates and some of the things that he says, why he would appeal to so many people.
Right. Yeah, the reason when he was running, the reason what turned me off from Hillary is, first, I didn't like Bill Clinton. And when Hillary was with the open borders, that right there turned me off. We open our borders up. God only knows who's coming in here. That right there completely turned me off. And with the 30,000 emails, it's too much for me. Do I think Trump was the best candidate? No, I do not. But at that time, out of everybody running, I think he was the best at that time, but I don't think he was the best person in the world for president now. But out of everybody running, yeah, I do.
Yeah, well, politically, they're giving him the edge because the alternative, the Democrats, really have nobody out there. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, with the recent scandals now, all the allegations. Bernie Sanders is in his 70s, and who else? I don't know. So go ahead.
I think there was a guy named, I think his name was Booker. There's one named Booker that said he's going to run. I don't see any of them right now that could take Trump out of there.
Yeah, I agree, you know, and I'm just, just really, really tired of a lot of things. But, politically, I'm definitely on the opposite end of the scale on Trump. But like I said, I think we can learn a few things from him just as a communicator and just as a candidate. Because, again, the Democratic Party, which I stopped supporting years ago back in 2010, they don't have anybody. They never have had anybody that can speak the way Trump does and be as bold, you know, whether you agree with him or not on some issues. They always tend to take the safe positions and ultimately don't listen to their base, because the progressive base is not nearly as strong as the Republican base, and Trump is a Republican-based president. You know, it's the base that essentially controls him. And he's gotten everybody in that party in line because of his positions and because of, you know, him listening to, you know, the Fox News and the right-wing talk radio crowd and whatnot. So, you know, it'll probably most likely be 4 more years of Trump, and then, we'll see what 2020 brings.
You look at with the governor of New York. He said that New York was going to be a sanctuary state. California, sanctuary state. Mm-hmm. The governor of New York announced today that where Trump said they were going to start shipping illegals to these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. The governor of New York announced today that if any illegals are sent there, that either they're going to file, the state of New York will file a lawsuit. I mean, you either want them or you don't want them. How can you be a sanctuary city but say, man, we don't want illegals? I think Trump is a genius because Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all of these ones that have been screaming that we want open borders, we want sanctuary cities for these illegals, now they're saying we don't want them. Don't send them here, we don't want them. You just reversed your whole position for the last 4 years. I think the name.
By the way, I'm looking at the bare knuckle fighting championship. There looks like there's some talk of about a Beck Rawlings fight versus Amanda Serrano, female boxer. Pretty interesting stuff there with Beck Rawlings, you know, and BKFC. She's really kind of risen to stardom, even greater stardom in bare knuckle fighting championship.
Beck Rawlings is really tough. She, they had two women's fights over here in Biloxi 2 weeks ago. All of them women are just they're unbelievable. I mean, I think some of them women are tougher than the men. But Beck Rawlings, she's phenomenal. As far as women go, my God. I'm a grown man, and I might think twice about standing in that weather.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, though, after sitting there watching it,
yeah.
I run through my head maybe one more time, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, I mean, look, you're not, I know, you're, you know, I mean, obviously, you mentioned, you know, you're in your 40s, if not 50, but
I'm 52.
Look, you got guys like Tony Lopez. Listen, you know, you got guys like Tony Lopez. Tony Lopez is he's probably 48, 49 years old. Shannon the Cannon Rich fought recently at bare knuckle fighting Cancun. You know, Shannon's 49, 50 years old. He's not a young guy anymore. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. You just got to really, you know, I don't know. Do you still train at all, Harry, or how is that?
I actually just 2 days after the bare knuckle, I got my butt back in the gym.
Yeah.
You know.
So we won't rule it out then. We won't rule out a possibility of your return. I think that'd be awesome.
Now my wife says never, but I'm never gonna rule anything out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would sort of favor your fighting style too, because you know you were always a striker, you know, striker/brawler, like to get in there. I think you know bare knuckle fighting in many ways, you know, you could definitely do some damage in there potentially, you know.
Oh yeah, oh yes. You just never know. Heck, the opening fight here in Biloxi was a guy that I think it was Troy Beats and Bobo O'Bannon.
Yeah.
Beats is 40, I think he's 49 years old.
Yeah.
He used to be my neighbor. He's an older guy.
Oh wow.
So.
Okay, yeah, he was tough, man. He was I think he just caught a knuckle in the eye and that was it. But he was a professional boxer, right? He fought Giroff. He fought some good guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Troy was a good boxer at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time I've kind of seen him. But I was pretty impressed by his toughness. And O'Bannon, I think, is out of Arkansas or Alabama. He was real tough guy too, you know, real good fighters. And it's not just being a tough guy, you know, you have to be skilled out there. You know, it's not it's different than boxing. It's not, you know, that's why, you know, some people say, you know, when Malignaggi comes into to fight, it's not going to be the same as boxing. There's a little bit more tying up. There's you know, you don't have the gloves to protect shots. You don't have the gloves to sort of hide behind and whatnot, and it's different. It could be potentially a different dynamic in there.
Oh yes. Oh yes, because they that little square that they have in the center of that ring, they like
yeah.
you to stay in the center of that and slug it out. There is no sticking and moving. They want you to stay there and fight. It's not that
That's
dancing
right.
around.
Yeah.
I think that fight favors Artem a whole lot.
Yeah, I think Artem's going to surprise people. I mean, it's you know, I would give the edge to Paulie, but I think that Artem is a lot tougher than people give him credit for. I don't think he's ever been knocked out. He's always in good shape, and you know, he's done this type of fighting before. And so I it's going to be a very high-profile fight. I can't wait to see that. I covered the bare-knuckle fighting media day there. I was right there when those two guys went at it. Paulie slapped them and whatnot, and that was kind of crazy. But, you know, I think that it's going to be a really, really good fight. I mean, they're already talking about, you know, Artem Lobov and Jason Knight being, you know, the fight of the year. I mean, that was, I think it was Feldman that said it was epic, and it certainly was, you know. So I think this will be another round.
I know Jason Knight said he wants the winner of this Paulie and Artem fight.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's... You know, they seem to be signing, and you know, as we said earlier, with the situation with the UFC, I think it's they're only going to be able to sign more and more fighters out there. You know, and it's becoming an alternative to MMA, and people are, Chris Lieben, as you mentioned, Chris Weidel. Anthony Johnson. Although I don't know if Anthony Johnson is actually going to be fighting. I think he's in some sort of other
role.
He's
going to be fighting. He's going to be fighting.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. That's a
beast. I'd be scared. Yeah, he's scary, man. I mean, that's like, I'm going to stand there against him. But, that'll be good. That'll definitely attract some eyeballs there to bare knuckle fighting, seeing Anthony fight. And he was a UFC, as you know, UFC title contender. And, he hasn't even ruled out going back to the UFC. But the only thing is that the UFC wants to own everybody, so they're not going to allow – they don't allow their fighters to participate in other organizations. It's either you're with the UFC or that's it. And if you're with the UFC, they may allow you to do like a grappling or a wrestling match like Ben Askren is doing versus Jordan Burroughs. But otherwise, it's not – it's the UFC or nothing. So, we'll see. Maybe he'll fight – in bare knuckle fighting and then go back to, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'd like to see him in bare knuckle fighting. I wasn't aware that he was actually going to be fighting. I mean, that's going to be pretty amazing.
Oh, his first fight, I want to be sitting front row right there. Cause, I wouldn't want to be standing in front of him. That's a monster.
No, I'd like to see who they're going to get to. And is he going to fight a 205? Is he going to fight a heavyweight? I mean,
I know he looks bigger than 205 right now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
He looks pretty swole up.
Well, there's a lot of guys they can get to fight him. I'm not at all worried about that.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Do you hear anything? Do you have any information about how much these fighters are getting paid? I don't know. I haven't seen any information on that. But from what I hear, when speaking to Paulie and others, that financially it's worth it for a lot of fighters. I haven't heard any fighters come out and complain about the pay.
I really don't know what they're paying, but I haven't heard anybody complain. I know that.
Yeah.
Even like my friend, that guy Troy Beats, he wasn't complaining at all about his money. They must be making some decent money.
Yeah, absolutely, and they deserve it too. I mean, one of my complaints about the UFC is just now that you got all the shareholders involved and they. Not, I think there's some effort now to take the UFC public. It's just less and less for the fighters. I mean, no matter how you cut it, because they got to pay back the WME IMG loan, and they got to satisfy their shareholders. And there's a million people that have to get money that are not fighting. People like Dana White, others, and when all is said and done, the fighters, out of any other sport, are getting a lower percentage of the revenue by far, and it's unfortunate, But again, that's going to create an opportunity, I think, for bare knuckle fighting and whatnot.
Yeah, when you got guys like Joe Rogan and that are sitting there talking on a microphone, making more than the fighters, there's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a big problem. Joe should be.
By the way, I don't think Rogan is as tough as everybody says he is, or as tough as he makes himself out to be. Rogan is always talking about how much of a tough guy he is. Like, he's always talking about how he's taking shots to the head and how he's fighting and he's fought before. Rogan hasn't had anything other than Taekwondo fighting. Back, I think, in New Hampshire or Massachusetts or somewhere on the East Coast, he doesn't have this fighting record that everybody likes to make him out to have.
There was only, as far as the old UFC, Rogan, there was only one one guy back from back then that I knew that had any kind of real martial arts or fighting background, and that was John Peretti. And John Peretti was a legitimate serious martial artist. But Joe Rogan, not that I know of.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, that's sometimes what people buy into the stuff. But in any event, you know, realistically, it's been really, really fun.
Played martial arts. I'm a martial artist in the movies. It didn't mean he was really one.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, Chuck Zito knocked him out years ago. I remember that was a big thing in the bathroom at Scores because there was something that happened. Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And even Dana White himself, you know, Dana White claims to be an amateur boxer. There's no record of Dana White fighting any boxing matches.
Oh, yes.
Well, listen, in any event, listen, Harry, I could talk to you for several more minutes. It was really fun having you on the program to get your thoughts and whatnot. And I really like to talk to you sometime in the future, you know, just kind of shoot the breeze with you. It was really, really fun. I appreciate it. And you're on Facebook. If people want to friend you on Facebook, they can. Just type in Harry Moskowitz. Anything else you want to let people know before we wrap it up?
No, just everybody have a safe and happy holiday, and I'll be at Bare Knuckle Box, and come swing by and see me.
Awesome. Maybe I will be there. I could logistically do it. I have no problem doing it, and I'd love to cover it. I would. So perhaps you'll see me down there in August as well.
All right, Bob. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man.
You too. Bye.
All right. UFC veteran, Mr. Harry Moskowitz on the program. Yeah, Harry's an awesome guy, man. I could talk to him for a while. I like having those discussions here on the program. You know, just two guys talking, ladies and gentlemen. Not this, this elitist technical crap that people try to shove down your throats with the so-called MMA experts, right, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we're going to take a brief time out. I'll come back after a great song. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice here. By Tony Luke Jr., folks.
Questions we have as we grow, it's hard to find answers to what we don't know, but sometimes there's someone to whom we can turn to teach us life's lessons, help us to learn just what's important and what matters most, much more than our teacher, and we call them coach, right there to guide us when we need a hand. They reach deep inside us and help us to stand, to lead by example in words and in deeds, and show us the courage we need to succeed. And I stand before you, I'm proud to boast, I'm one of the many who's learned from the cold to never surrender your hopes or your travel, the choices you make, the load that you carry, the chances you take. We raise our glasses and offer this toast to one who will always.
Hi, we're back live here on Carson's Corner. Big thanks to Harry Moskowitz again for joining us. We appreciate it. What else do we want to talk about here? Yeah, so I want to talk about this Angela Magana situation, okay? Last night it was posted on Twitter that Angela Magana was supposed to have a fight. She was supposed to have a fight in Kabate's America, whatever it's called, a promotion. It does fairly well in terms of the ratings. I think it's headed by Campbell McLaren. They run shows in Mexico, and she's supposed to fight this fighter, Kira. I don't really follow this promotion, but she's supposed to have this fight. And last week she recorded some video where she was in Wegmans, and she miraculously saw her opponent met Wegmans and they started to get into a fight. It just looked like a publicity fake video that a lot of people are doing now. A lot of people are doing these brawls now and these, you know, just to get publicity, because the UFC has kind of, I think, set the precedent here that, you know, brawls and you know, dollies and buses and all this stuff leads to good publicity and leads to opportunity. So that's what you see. So, you know, I commented, the video looked fake. It just looked terrible. And so she was supposed to fight, and then supposedly she had a back injury. I wanted to hear something happened, and then she was feeling pain. She got some pain medication, and then the pain wasn't going away, and then she was diagnosed with this condition. I don't have it in front of me, this severe condition that required surgery. And she went into the surgery in Puerto Rico where she lives, and then she didn't wake up. She had a negative reaction to the anesthesia, and she's been in a coma for almost 24 hours. I don't know how long, but according to her manager, she's starting to make some improvements. She's starting to wiggle her toes. She's starting to open her eyes and whatnot. And by and large, from what I've seen from the MMA community, has been pretty supportive of her. I don't like Angela Magana. I don't like what she did to Cyborg. She's a bully. A lot of people don't like her because of what she's done, bullying activity. You know, what she did with Cyborg. She bullied Cyborg for quite some time, and Cyborg punched her at the UFC retreat a couple of years ago, and then she sued Cyborg. She called the police, and she's involved with this lawsuit. As of last year, I don't know the status of that, but it's disgraceful. You know, it's sort of like what Colby Covington did. You know, he insults Fabricio Verdum, and then, you know, he calls the cops on him. Not saying that people, because they're online bullies, should be punched or should be this and that, but You know, sometimes you can bring this on yourself, and you should really accept it, the consequences sometimes without, you know, suing someone or pressing charges and whatnot. So, you know, to be honest with you, I looked at this, and I've always looked at this with a grain of cynicism, even though very, very few people do, because when Angela posted this, she posted these videos, like these about, you know, how she's scared of dying, how her aunt supposedly died from anesthesia, and it looked like almost like a troll job. And you know, if anybody was going to do a troll job of faking their own death, it would be her. You know, she'd be like the perfect person. She likes that type of villain online persona and what. Very, very skeptical, and you know. The more I see this, I'm not 100% convinced that, you know, she really is in a state. I hope that she's not. I don't wish ill on anybody. I hope that she is fine, and you know, that she's not in a coma. If she is in a coma, I hope that the reports that you know, she's making progress are right. I don't wish anybody ill. I don't want anybody to pass away at 35 or 36 years old. She's very, very young. But I just was skeptical of this, and I think that I have a right to be, and I'd like to see some additional reporting, although it does appear to be legit and whatnot, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens. This may end her career. She's got three children, I believe, and she was 0-3 in the UFC and actually was cut. Yeah, see, Ray Elby is joining us now in the chat. Ray, I'm talking about Angela Magana, in case you just joined us. I'm not a fan of hers. I think she was a despicable person for what she did to Cyborg. And, everybody supported Cyborg when she popped Angela Magana. And on Twitter, I tweeted Cyborg for a response about this. Cyborg hasn't given any response to this situation regarding Angela Magana. Maybe she won't. I don't know. But, you know, I think that that's, in the minds of many people, solidified the fact that this Angela Magana, you know, is just negative and just, you know, just a bully online. And I don't like to see that. I really don't. But nonetheless, you know, we don't want to see anybody, facing death or any adverse physical conditions under any circumstances, anybody and whatnot. And by the way, Ray, I got to tell you, I think I posted this on Twitter. I think Cyborg has really, really earned a lot of new fans since her loss against Amanda Nunes, because Cyborg has really taken the high road and really almost dedicated herself to, you know, being altruistic and, you know, helping others and being a positive force in her community and others. I think Cyborg recently went to South Africa, and you know, Cyborg seems to be a very, very positive role model in the sport of mixed martial arts, and I take my hat off to her. Unlike Amanda has been like a heel now. You know, Amanda, ever since she beat Cyborg, and ever since she, you know, arguably going back to Rousey, you know, she's been like this. When she beat Cyborg, she didn't even mention Cyborg in her post-fight speech. You know, she just seemed to have this attitude. And again, you know, Amanda, you know, she's the best, in my opinion, probably the best female fighter of all time. You can't take that away from her. But there's just a certain amount of class and graciousness that you'd expect people to have when they win. And I don't know that Amanda showed that. I don't know. I could be wrong. That's up for debate, but I commend Cyborg for that. It's almost like Cyborg has really come out the winner in certain respects after her fight versus Amanda Nunes. So that's it. We'll see what happens with this situation. If this was a hoax, if it was determined that this is a fake story or whatnot, then I don't think anybody should be involved with Angela. And I don't think anybody should tolerate that and whatnot. So we'll see what happens there. Just on a personal, folks, believe it or not, this is the truth here. I've lost about 15 pounds. I bought a scale today, and I'm down to like 327. Okay, I know that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. It's a lot of weight. But I was at 350. Okay, 350 pounds. I had a BMI of 49. And I got some real, you know, extremely disturbing news regarding my health. And I don't want to go into detail, but, I have to lose weight. I can't continue to be fat. I can't continue to eat the stuff that I have. And I'm hoping that with diet and exercise, which I've been doing now, again, I lost 15 pounds probably in a week, and I'm eating right. I'm eating a low-carb diet, doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I'm not an extreme dieter, but I'm losing weight. Take my word for it. Another month or so, I'll be 50 pounds lighter. I'll be 40 pounds lighter. As quick as I put on weight, I can lose weight. But I'm hoping that will improve my health. I really do, because it's very, very serious. And so, I'm doing everything I can. And, there's a good indication that diet and exercise can slow, the progression of disease out there. And I believe that. I believe that that's the case. So I'm very, very proud of myself, ladies and gentlemen. I have to pat myself on the back. In fact, right after this, I'm going to the gym, and I'm probably going to wind up doing, a workout. Yesterday at like 1 o'clock in the morning, I went to the gym, and I did the elliptical, like the Stairmaster, whatever it is. I don't know what these machines are. You've got the Stairmaster with the steps. Then you've got the elliptical that goes up and down, and you can add resistance to each stride. Then you've got the other elliptical, but just circular. It's not like up and down. I like to use the up and down machine because I could put it on the highest resistance. I put it on the 20 and 100s, the highest resistance. And I went for like 15 minutes, and my heart rate was like 85. And I got my heart rate up to 160. And I'm like, I started to kind of get out of breath like 8-9 minutes in, but I toughed it out for about 19-20 minutes. I wasn't at the highest level for that duration. I was at the highest level for maybe 12-13 minutes, and then I went down to 90. I went 20 and 90, then I went down to 20 and 75, and then 20 and 50, and then to end out the workout, I did like 6 and 6, and so I was able to do higher strides and whatnot. But it was good, man. I got my heart rate up there nice and high, and burned like almost 300 calories in, 15 minutes, a little over 15 minutes. So it was a good workout. And I'm going right there after this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. So I'll post pictures as I've done in the past of my project, my progress. I appreciate any type of feedback, any type of appreciation or any type of encouragement. I really do. I really think that people are generally supportive in this country, as rotten and as disgusting as this country could be, ladies and gentlemen. The American people generally are very supportive of people going through personal struggles and whatnot. And that extends to even someone like Angela Magana, who, is regarded as a bad person, or online persona and whatnot. But unanimously, everybody's been supportive, and that's good. That really is. You support but verify. That's the point, ladies and gentlemen. That's what you do. So that's really it. So I'm going to be heading to the gym. You can friend me on Facebook and also follow me on Instagram. I just set up an Instagram account a couple weeks ago. Same handle, Bob Carson MMA. Go to facebook.com/Bob Carson MMA. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Bob Carson MMA. And that's it. I may be going to UFC Rochester. I don't know. I applied for a press pass. We'll see if I'm granted. Hopefully, I could go up all the way up there to Rochester. You've got Kevin Lee fighting Rafael Dos Anjos, and you've got an interesting female fight in Felicia Spencer versus Megan Anderson. And Megan Anderson blocked me on Twitter. She blocked me on Twitter because I said that I thought that, respectfully, I said that I thought that Felicia was going to beat her. And Felicia will beat her. Take my word for it. Felicia is going to be able to get her on the ground. She's going to be able to just I would bet my life savings, which is nothing, that Felicia Spencer is going to win that fight. I really would. And, you know, Megan Anderson blocked me, which is a disgrace, folks. It really is. I just can't get over this. You know, the sensitivity sometimes in the MMA community is astounding. I wasn't trolling. I was just being honest. I think that Felicia's going to win that fight. And don't give me this, oh, it's negativity. It's not negativity. It's an honest opinion. And I laid out why I thought Felicia was going to win that fight. And, you know, if Megan was really as tough as maybe people think, or you know, maybe a little stronger, she would take that in stride and said, okay, you know what? I appreciate your decision or your opinion. I'm going to work on this, that, and the other thing to make sure that Felicia Spencer doesn't beat me, you know. But instead, she kind of took the opposite route. But that's all right. It's not the first female fighter that has blocked me. It's not the first MMA fighter that has blocked me. And it won't be the last, folks. So that's maybe I will go to this bare-knuckle fighting in August. Maybe I'll drive down there to Mississippi. I'd like to go down there. Never driven to Mississippi, you know. Driven down there south. Driven across country 4 times, folks, and that's a great experience. I highly recommend it. So, all right, my other job is calling me now. There's some sort of emergency I got to take off. But thank you very much again to Harry Moskowitz for calling. Want to talk to him more often on the show. I really enjoy talking to him. Fun guy, nice guy. Could talk to him for hours. Down-to-earth guy, just one of the guys here, folks. Thank you out there to everybody listened, and please spread the show. Make sure to like us, whatever, share the show on Twitter, wherever you can. We appreciate it. This is independent podcasting, folks. No frills podcasting, okay? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and until next time, show some respect.